We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
Welcome, everyone, to this webinar. Thanks for bearing with us for a few minutes while we started a couple minutes late. So welcome to the webinar about the power of maps for K-12 learners. Today we will discover ways that online mapping can shape the learning experiences of K-12 students. And we're going to see real examples from one school district in Loudoun County, Virginia. So EdWeb, can you pull up our poll? Because I'd like to start today by taking a poll to find out what experience today's audience has with mapping. So go ahead and respond to the poll. Just take a couple of seconds. Let's see how people are feeling about mapping and how things, how you've worked with online mapping before. This is so helpful for our presenters. It really gives them a sense of what the audience has as background. So it looks like we've got most of our responses in the no, I haven't used with students, but I'm familiar. And then also, I really don't know much about what's possible. Well, you're in the right place because you're going to learn a lot today about this. So it looks like we have some other folks who don't teach students, which is interesting. So you'll still learn a lot about some applications that you can use in other contexts. So great. Looks like we have a nice large audience too. So I'm going to give you about maybe 10 more seconds to respond if you have not responded already. And it looks like most of our audience is in the realm of, I'm not really sure what's possible. So so we'll kind of start from the beginning for most of our group. All right, thanks, EdWeb. You can close the poll now, and we'll go on and we'll do our introductions for the webinar today. So I'm Missy Green. I'm the Director of Strategic Partnerships for CETA. And today's webinar also has Charlie Fitzpatrick, and he's the K-12 Education Manager from ESRI, and also Mike Wagner. He's a teacher at Loudoun County, Virginia Public Schools. And so we're happy to have you with us. We will basically have just a few introductions, not a lot with that, because we know you really want to hear from Charlie and from Mike and learn from their expertise with online mapping and how to bring that to life in your classroom. And then finally, we'll have some time for questions and answers. And meanwhile, feel free to put your questions and things in the chat as we go along. We'll save them till the end, but we will have someone who's monitoring that. And then I want to put in a plug for our EdWeb community. We have an essential elements for digital content. We use this community for a lot of the webinars that CETA does, and we're happy to have ESRI join this group. It's a great community for questions, answers, and to connect with people with the same interests that you share. So we want you to join the community, and if you do, guess what? You get to take advantage of all the great free resources that you see today on the webinar. So make sure that you join the community. And you know what? We'll be checking in and trying to answer some of your questions and continue the discussion beyond today's webinar. So, and then finally, you know that this is professional development. So to get your CE certificate, you will be emailed the certificate if you pre-registered for today's webinar and EdWeb has your email address. If you logged in today using your email address, we will also email you your CE certificate. If you join by phone, you need to join the community and take the quiz. So we will remind you about this again at the end of the webinar today. So make sure to take advantage of that great opportunity to get your CE certificate. And then I'd like to thank our sponsor and our friend, ESRI. ESRI, the company who brings us the science of where, for sponsoring today's webinar. And you can learn more by clicking on the website there. And I think Charlie will also give you some other sites that you can check out during the webinar. So And briefly, a little bit about me. I'm the Director of Strategic Partnerships. My name is Missy Green, and CETA is a nonprofit organization that serves digital learning leaders. And we really believe in advocacy for policy and practice. We believe in a culture of professional learning and collaboration and partnerships. And that's what leads us to this webinar today. CETA has a partnership with EdWeb and with Esri as well. And so we value our partners, and together our partners help us accomplish our mission to improve education. So I'm unable to advance the slide, but with the very next slide, I'm privileged to introduce our friend and colleague, Charlie Fitzpatrick from Esri, and he is not only K-12 education manager, but he is on the ground working with students and teachers, state education agencies, teacher educators. He's a former teacher himself, and just a general all-round knowledgeable expert about everything to do with MAPS. So with that being said, I will let Charlie take over and share a little bit about the science of WEAR and online mapping.
Thanks very much, Missy. And hello, everybody. It's a treat to be here and to share with you about mapping that you can do just inside of a web browser. And as part of this, what we try to get people to see is that the mappers themselves can be creating data. So not just working with professionally generated data, but you and your students can be engaged in participating in this. And just to give you a very quick example, if you want to open up a new tab in your browser or access your phone, a smartphone or a tablet, and take a quick little survey, this is actually a way that you can be putting your dot on a map with a set of characteristics attached to them. And if we have time, we'll be able to go in and take a look at that, because that's what people can be doing with these tools. So the address, arcg.is/edweb, and then today's date, 2018-0124. And that address will take you to a little window, either whether you're in your browser or in a tablet or on a little smartphone. You'll be able to fill in a few questions and put a dot on the map, a dot for where you work. We'll give people just a few seconds so that they can go in and take a look at that. And that's going to, I hope, help people see that you can do this very easily. And I'm looking actually at the map myself and seeing that there are people that are putting dots in across the United States and not yet outside of the United States are showing up. So there may be some, and they're starting to come in, and you can do that at any point during this session. So I'm going to move forward and say, what is it that we could do with this? Well, we'll be able, if we get the chance to do this a little bit later, we'll be able to go in and take a look at this survey and analyze the data, take a look at it, and see where people came from and how people responded to some of these questions. But let's take a look at what makes up a map. And all of you are familiar with working with maps, but what makes up a map that is sort of like the complete map that you see in the center? Well, maps are composed of layers, individual layers of like things. So you can see going counterclockwise around the large map, you can see dots for the cities, areas for the lakes, areas for the background layer, for the land masses, for the states, and then lines. So all of these layers you get to coordinate. And when you think about the world outside, the one that you deal with on a day-by-day basis here, you're seeing stuff everywhere. But you can step back and abstract the world and see it as a series of layers, even in your daily existence, that you can show by points and lines and areas and images. And they can cover a wide range of scales. We can think about countries, we can think about city blocks, we can think about individual trees on a block. You can do this at a wide range of scales and explore it on a computer. And that's the magic. And because you have all of this content that you are working with, you can use this to see patterns and relationships and understand conditions and make good decisions, make informed decisions, and use them to solve problems. And that's what people are doing with our software in all industries, in all walks of life. And what we're trying to do is to help schools be able to use this stuff to do the same thing, to learn basic content, to understand school content, regular classroom content, or learn how to work on some special projects that you want to do. And that's where this, we've put together a website for people in schools where you can get access to free software and instructional materials. Esri.com/schools is the address where you can go and get links right into standard classroom content. Now, we built some of that content for the ConnectEd initiative back when President Obama was running that program, but we built it and are still continuing to enhance it and expand it and maintain it. And we built sets of activities that are standards-based activities, two-page documents with a specific map to go with each document for a series of classroom content areas. Esri.com/geoinquiries will take you to the site where you can just click on these things. There are 8 sets of 15 lessons each that you can work through, no login required. And if you decide, hey, this is great, we want to make a map, we want to modify the maps that are there, we want to save them, you need a way to log in. So we make these organization accounts available to schools for no cost. Everything for schools for instruction is free. Go to esri.com/schools. You'll see a little pull down there. Go to the school software bundle. There's a special page for that with a little form, and you can see the extent of the form here. It's not very elaborate to request software for your school. And a lot of people have done that across the country. There are over 5,000, it's actually over 5,700 sites across the country that have done this. And we have pockets that are particularly dense and then places where it's more scattered. And one of the places where you'll see a lot is just around the DC area and to the west, especially. And when we zoom in to Loudoun County, here you're seeing, if you're quick on your numbers, you'll find there are 90 little red schoolhouses there because there are 90 schools in Loudoun County, Virginia, and every one of those schools, high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, has an ArcGIS online organization. They're using their account to do school content. And that's what we want you to see, is that these are tools for doing powerful classroom content. So there are some resources that you'll get access to at the esri.com/school site. And you could go directly to the esri.com/geoinquiries, or you could go to a site that you'll see referenced on the school site that is k12.maps.arcgis.com. We'll come back and give you those addresses again a little later. But what I'd like to do is to get you to see what it is that it looks like with people using this software. I've been using it, but let's take a look at what it is that my friend Mike has been working with in Loudoun County.
Hi, Charlie. Oh, thanks. Missy.
Yeah. Missy, if you're still there, do you want to run in with that second poll? We've lost Missy, I think. She was having trouble. Wait a second. I don't see her. Yeah, I see you're still there. Oh, yes. Let's try this poll. Let's go ahead with the poll. And I can't see if the poll is in operation, but I see a slide for it. Okay, here it comes. Excellent. Digital content. Are you interested in using online mapping with students? This is poll number 2. Wow, we got them pouring in here, Mike.
We got That's great to see.
Responses pouring in. This is terrific. And it looks like we have people who want to learn a bunch more, see what's possible, and a bunch of people who want to get into custom projects or some pre-built lessons. Terrific. That's great. Well, let's go ahead and close the poll. We see we've got a good set of responses here, and move ahead with Mike. Mike, are you ready to go?
I am, Charlie. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Welcome, everybody. I am the GIS lead teacher for Loudoun County Public Schools. And today I'm going to show you some examples of outside of pre-built lessons like the geo inquiries that you can look at that link to that Charlie provided. This is already lessons that we developed within Loudoun County that I developed for teachers or teachers developed for themselves. With very little support. So give me 1 second. I'm trying to get this shared with you. Okay.
And the screen share is now loading for me, Mike.
Okay.
And I can see Loudoun County.
Okay, great. So what you're gonna see here is a map of where our schools are. If I pan out a little bit, give you an idea of where we're located. So we're located in Northern Virginia, just to the west of Washington, D.C. And we have a total of 105 organizations. We don't have that many schools. We have about 90 schools, but we service about 80,000 students. When this project, when ConnectEd first became available, we got every single one of our schools an organizational account. So that's where we are right now. You'll see all the different symbols here about what kind of schools and where they're located. So I'm gonna move on and show you some examples in the time that I'm allotted here. So the first one, this is an elementary, I'm gonna start with elementary school first. This is called LOCO. And this project's meant to introduce students to oceanography. Students are asked to predict the migration of a whale shark from the Gulf of Mexico to Ningaloo Reef in Australia, based on different layers of maps and the data they collect from those maps. So what the students would do is on the left-hand side, we have a list of all of our layers that are available. So a student would come in and we have a set of worksheets that actually I have links to all of this information in the archives. There's a document there. So feel free to pull that down, take a look at it after this webinar. And you'll get a chance to see these on your own as well. So if students click on different layers, they'll get a chance to then bring up different features of the map. And then from here, they can answer questions and analyze the map and look and try to figure out what path of migration the whale shark might use. So I can put different layers and click on and off. Very easy for the students to use. Another project that we did, this was a county-wide project. We purchased daffodil bulbs for whatever elementary schools wanted to be part of this program. And what they did is they went out and they collected data every month from the fall through the spring. So every month they would collect, they would check the air temperature, the soil temperature, and the soil moisture. And at the end, when the bulb emerged, they put the emergent date and the bloom date. What this allowed us to do, or what teachers would do with this information, would they be able to pull up with their students and see, is there a correlation between air temperatures and emergent date, or soil moisture and bloom date? So very, it was a key to doing a countywide initiative and allowing multiple schools to be involved at the same time. The sound project, this was really cool with one of our elementary schools. They wanted to, students took Chromebooks or iPads and using a form, and I'm going to flip over to the form here real quick. This form was created in ArcGIS and it's called a geoform. And what students go to a website and they have a short link to this form, they filled out. They went around different parts of the school and they used a free app, a decibel meter, and they put in the decibels and then they clicked on what space it was. So there was hallway, classroom, stairwell, where were they located when they collected the data? What were the surfaces in that area? And then noisemakers, how many things within that area made noise. And once they collected all that data, the data then came up and populated the map. And then they analyzed that map to see where the noisiest areas of the school were. And then they turned it into a project where the students then had to figure out what materials could lessen the noise in that area. And then they presented it to the principal and other teachers. And it became almost like a where can the money, find it, like a shark tank. So it was really cool for the students to be involved in that. And all the data was collected via this online map and analyzed. Another way we could use this, and what I'm using here is a story map. And a story map is a great way to communicate information. ESRI has done a great job of, there's a number of different templates that you can use. I'm using the tab layout here. And what I like story maps for is not only students creating data and communicating that data, but it's also for teachers to build lessons that the students can come in very easily and click on tab to tab, or go through a story map and learn information. One of the things that I did for some of the teachers had access to this book, Bird, Butterfly, Eel. And this is a story about migration. So students learning about migration, I created this story map that went along with the book. So it's a supplement to the book. And as you go through, it's where are these? It's a barn swallow and butterfly and an eel. And it's taking the students from looking globally and then coming down into their local area. So as they go through, as they click through these pages, they're getting a sense of where in the world they are within Loudoun County. And then once they get in Loudoun County, then they can click and find their individual school. And once they do that, they zoom in on the local area. And of course, being excited about the mapping program, what we found that they get really excited about this, and they want to find their home, and they want to find. So geographically, it's great for students to just play around and find where things are in their local area as well. So this goes on and just goes with different parts of the book. It talks about agricultural areas with the barn swallow and where they are located and then where they migrate to. So without going any further, this is a great way to supplement using geography and connecting it to books on content. So it's not only content, but also the geography. So,
and Mike, if I can jump in, what I see that you're doing in elementary school is getting students engaged in generating their data and in working with pre-existing content, making decisions, always about making decisions.
Correct. Yes. And that's one of our strategies. We're trying to get students to think more spatially and think more critically. So this has actually opened the door for critical thinking.
Cool.
So I'll move on to our middle school examples. So in one of our schools, some of our teachers wanted to take the observations that Darwin made on the Galapagos Islands and put them to use for the students to explore. Obviously, we can't get the students on a field trip. We would love to take them to the Galapagos, but that's just not possible. So a way to do that is to actually, they populated these points on this map. And for each point, they put pictures of the actual finches that were found at that location. Students would then also, they zoom in on a particular point. You can use a topographic map to get the elevation, or in this case, the students that the teachers were working with, they actually, teachers put the elevation there for them, but they connect the elevation from the topographic map with the elevation given, and they can make those associations as well. But what they did is they have a booklet that goes along with this that the teachers created, and they would, like Darwin did, put down all their observations in this notebook and then start coming to some conclusions. What type of finches were found at high elevations? What type of finches were found at lower elevations? What ones were found closer to the water? So it's a great interactive lesson, and they're using the map to explore, just like as if they were on the islands themselves. Another one of our examples, one of our sixth grade classes took a field trip to the zoo, but they wanted it to be more interactive than just going around and seeing all the different species of animals. What they wanted to do is they wanted the students to collect the data using, a geoform that the students had access to. And this was collected using what phones the students had with them at that particular time. And what they did is they went around the zoo and they collected data related to the particular species. So you could see the different things that they collected from what biome it was located in, the type of diet, the class. And when they came back, they had not learned anything about classification. And when they came back, they were able to then sort the data and see what classifications matched with biomes and what niches were available within the biomes. So it was really a way that the teachers then used it as a way to jump off into content that they hadn't yet gone into yet. And then examples spread out to CTE. One of our tech ed teachers were talking about designing buildings. And ESRI created this very cool green space app. And what you can do is if you go to the plan tab, you got a series of maps that are already created for students. And you can click on the one that we used was a conduct landscape analysis. And by clicking on that link, students can select different variables and look at criteria, everything from what type of or how many invasive species are within that area, or how much percent of green space is within this area. And what they did is they found an area to put a green building. Once they located a place to create this green building, they then designed the building to be put on that site. So it was a really a good activity that combined both the geography and the planning, environmental planning, but also then the designing of the building. And last, in the middle school, our social science teachers teaching Civil War. This is a map that's already out there in the available content. Teachers would just search for the content and find this list of every set of battles by year. So teachers could use this as a demonstration or put it out there as a link for students to access at home and make it develop a question set to where they can explore on their own and then come in ready for a discussion in the next class.
So once again, Mike, I'm seeing with your middle schools, there are people that are working with the pre-constructed content, some of the professionally generated things, and then working with their own content, content that they're generating in a variety of classes.
Yep. And it really spans every, as we'll see when I get to the high school examples, you're going to see that even English teachers can use it.
Cool. Let's jump into that.
Okay, so this is an example of how I like to create lessons from these story maps. So one of our environmental science teachers wanted to do something related to the Mount Carbon West Virginia train derailment. And back in 2015, if you remember, this was made national news, where 109 tankers of oil derailed, many of which caught fire. And I created this story map and the question set. You notice that over on the side gives you the example or the ability to put in text. So we created a set of questions and then a series of tabs that the students can explore. And this was a homework assignment that the teacher gave. And then they came in the next day ready for a discussion about it. Our earth science teachers, one of the apps, there's a lot of web apps. And Charlie, can you speak real quick about the types of apps that that are embedded within ArcGIS Online?
Sure. Sure. There are a number of tools that are available. And so we have been working with enough teachers for a long enough time that it's really easy to create some a variety of apps. Save them out, make them publicly available. So there are a lot of resources that exist for people to use for various purposes in their content. And what Mike's got here is the Elevation app, which allows you to generate a profile. Go ahead, Mike, and see if you can do this, generate a profile. So somebody could create a profile in their community or take a look at it going across the ocean.
So if we're looking across the river, the Potomac River here is near Leesburg, Virginia, and I'm doing a profile across the river. So students can interactively do this cross section. And if you put your cursor along the elevation profile, it actually shows you on the map where that's located. So you can actually trace not only the elevations, but then you can look at the profile across there and see, okay, where is the river located along here? So there's the river there, and you see the elevation leading up to it. So where the higher elevation is, you can talk about water flow here. You can talk about gradient. So there's a lot of things you can do with this, and our earth science teachers like to use this elevation app. I mentioned about the English teacher. So I have a few English teachers that, in this case, this was British Lit, and students read British literature novels, and they created maps for character location within those books. So you'll see that the students put these points in there. They talked about what was going on or why this area was so important to the book or to the characters. So a great way to make the reading more interactive and give it some geographical reference. But you don't always have to embed maps. I know, Charlie, you can close your ears for this, but you don't always have to have a map within there. And some of our teachers like to use the story map because of the visual content and the way you can embed videos, you can embed pictures. They like to use it for reporting or communicating out information. So this was students were given certain issues. And in this case, the student was dealing with fear. And they researched, it was a part of a research project, and they put their results here of what research that they found related to fear. So in this case, there's not a geographical part to it, but still story maps make it very easy to use and a great way to communicate results.
So some of those stories are very map-centric and some are much less map-centric, but still powerful communication devices.
Absolutely. And the last example I'm going to show, this is related to, so we have a geospatial science course, which is juniors and seniors, and it's dual enrollment with James Madison University. And this is actually, I just saw this is part of their the class midterm. And this is just another example of what you can do. These students are more skilled in GIS, and this is another type of story map that they created where it's a series, and you can see the visual content there, and then it gets into the maps. And this is another story map embedded into this story map. So it's really cool. You can do multiple different lessons or different content embedded into one. And this is all about Hurricane Irma, and this particular set of students here were looking at the history of hurricanes that have affected Florida and how we could have learned information about what Irma might do from past hurricanes.
That's very cool, Mike. One of the pieces that, if I can jump in and ask you to look more broadly about this, can you tell us about your technology infrastructure there? Do you have labs that everybody is going to or carts in the rooms, or how does it work in Loudoun County?
So we are a bring your own device district. But with that said, we also have laptops and we have some computer labs available. And we also, in some cases, have iPads or Chromebooks available. So we use a wide diversity of technology. So it really varies, but this works on every type of device, even your phone and a mobile device.
That's terrific. So you've got people in all kinds of devices, in all kinds of settings, at all grade levels, in different subject areas, working with mapping technology. And what do you see, or what do people say who are looking at this broadly from the district? Is this something that they're really pushing? Obviously, I'm leading in because you're doing this a lot. So it's tell me about what they're saying in the district about this.
So one of our initiatives is we're getting students to think more critically. And I'm going to share my screen one more time here and show another example, or show you what our back here. Just give me one second.
Okay, screen share is loading. And here's your strategic plan actions.
Yep, so one of our strategic plans, one of our goals is to develop knowledgeable critical thinkers, communicators, collaborators, creators, and contributors. And if you look at the ArcGIS Online as a tool that can help in every single one of these, you saw the critical thinking piece. You can have some data displayed, whether you collect the data or you find the data and display it. You can be asking questions. Students can be asking questions. The communication tools of the story maps, the students working together to build these story maps or build the maps, creating these story maps and displaying pictures and videos and other content, not only maps, and using these to communicate to the outside world and contribute to the local community. So this is a great tool that fits our goal of developing the 5 C's.
That's really cool. And I'm going to put into the chat window the address if people want to see the map live on their own device. view. So let me go ahead and type this in here. And go ahead, and there it is. So now in the chat window, you can see the opening survey for anybody who didn't get to take that survey. You can look at the results on your device. So I've just said, let me make a map with one layer, that dot that you put on there, and let me make it publicly accessible. So all that information that you created, I've just said, let us share this with everybody who participated in that. And you can click on the dots. I've classified the dots by people's description of gender so that you can just see some things, but you can go in and click on the dots and see what it is that somebody is looking at and what their what grades they're working with and things like that. So there's all kinds of information that you and other people put in there that you can make a map out of. Think about the places that you can go, the things that you can learn by getting students to be working with data in a map. So that's just one last little piece there.
And I think, Charlie, it's so interesting because people were excited to participate in that, for them to see how quickly that data was compiled and how each one of our viewers today is represented on the map. Like, that is just really interesting. I mean, it's powerful. So
yep, it's very fun to see. And that map is live, so that as more people add more content into it, when you refresh the map or you zoom in, the new dots will appear.
That's great. So a lot of folks are asking questions. So we have about 15, a little more, a little less, I should say, than 15 minutes left to address some of these questions. And, you know, you'll be the stars of the show, gentlemen, because you did such a nice job. So what are the subjects? We have a couple questions about what subjects will benefit the most, or what subjects will most benefit. I know you mentioned English teachers. We had a specific question about a world language class. So do you have any thoughts about that?
Sure. And I can do this from across the country. What we see, the two areas that most often people say, I want to use this in my classroom right away, are social studies and sciences. But a lot of people will say, hey, we want to have our language students work with some of the data that is about these areas that speak a particular language, or we can even get some of the content within that language and be looking at native language content areas. We have people who are in math classes who are looking for real world examples about how do we work with some of these challenging math concepts, or do some analyses looking at the data. We have people who are in English class that are looking for how do I help people work on ways to communicate. If we're looking at a story map, how do I tell a message so that even if I'm in history class, I really need to be thinking about how do I use my communication skills in another way. So it's science and social studies are the obvious ones that people jump in. A new big one for a lot of people is the CTE community, the career tech ed folks. And so we want people to see that as well.
All right, that sounds great. So we had a comment, I have to share this, from Jesse in Oklahoma, who wants to use this map with the fish, the fish that Jesse catches in the boat at different locations in the lake. Do you think that would work, Charlie?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like that. Mapping where the fish are, right, at different locations in
right.
the lake.
Perfect. Yeah, people have done really powerful activities with that for their own personal use. I want to see where I go birding and what are the things that I see in different places. Or, hey, you know, we're in a community where a lot of elderly people are out on the golf course, walking around or playing golf. And sometimes we have to have, because we're sort of off in the distance, we have to have helicopters come in and pick somebody up because of a medical condition. Let's get the coordinates for the the T's and the greens and paths in between so that we can give somebody, you know, if you're in a helicopter, it's tough to know what's the landing. You know, I got to be on the eighth green. That's hard to find. But if you get a set of coordinates that you can work with, there are all kinds of ways of thinking about working with this in my community or learning about the world setting.
Well, thanks, Charlie. So there's a question here about adding layers and inputting data, and how do you learn to do that? And also, where does the data come from? So give a little bit of an overview about where the data comes from and how do you add layers or input, or is there a possible tutorial people could learn how to do that?
Sure. The good news is lots of people are producing data in their professional jobs. Governmental data from federal groups, state groups, local groups. There's a lot of GIS data that is already out there for people to be working with. But if you've got a special project, we want to do some water quality mapping on the stream in the community, we can go out and gather that, and you can put the information out there in lots of different ways. The simplest way to do this is just with a simple little CSV file, a table of data with latitude and longitude and sets of characteristics going beyond that. But there are all kinds of ways for doing this. And yes, indeed, when you go to the webpage, esri.com/schools, and you see, hey, I want to get into doing projects, there are activities that walk you through how to do this.
Okay, that sounds great. And one final question, is this free for schools? Do you need to buy a site license? How does that work?
The neat thing is this is free for instruction, no cost. There's a full set of software available for schools for online. You can have all of the students in the school engaged with it. And there's desktop software as well. And that's for high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, public schools, private schools, homeschools, and youth clubs, not just in the U.S., that's around the world.
Yeah, we have some attendees of our webinar from around the world too. So I'm so thankful that people tuned in from everywhere and learn about maps. There is a question about maps with information in different languages. Do you have that capability, or is that something that you've thought about?
Sure. The maps there are maps available in lots of different languages. You can set a lot of different software to display in different languages. If it's accessing data that has been prepared with multiple languages, you can choose that. So there are all kinds of people that have created content in different languages. There are lots of opportunities there.
Okay, that's great. And I'm trying to think if we have one final question. There was a specific question about the reliable information about the finches in specific spots. Mike, how did you get kids to collect data and have it be accurate and reliable?
So actually with the finches, that was something that the teachers researched the observations of Darwin and where they were located, and then put those points on the map. So the students would actually, they were basically just doing a tour of the Galapagos Islands in that map and collecting the data based on what the teachers put in there. So it was based on real information, but the students were investigating it like they had never seen it before.
That's such a great example.
We're drawing their own conclusions.
And you know what, that's a really good example about what it is that people can do with professional data and locally created data. There's actually a competition, a national competition across the U.S. That is being done in individual states that people can read about through some of those links, where we're asking students in middle school and high school to be putting together their own special project and then participating across the state and then nationally. A lot of opportunity for people to do that.
So great. Well, it's time to wrap things up. And so for the folks who tuned in and listened to our webinar today, you can get a CE certificate mailed to you within 24 hours using the email address that you provided upon registration. If you joined us by phone and you're watching this as a recording, which I hope lots of folks do, if you liked this webinar, share it with other people and tell them, hey, you have to see this. You can also get a CE certificate, but you have to visit the link that you see there on the slide ahead of you, all right, in front of you. And I also am going to put a plug to continue this conversation. There were many more questions, unfortunately, that we had time for. We got too many good questions. You really got people thinking, Charlie and Mike. And so for this digital content community, we can continue the discussion there, answer the questions. You can also email our presenters. And I know that EdWeb has put the email addresses of both Mike and Charlie and myself in the chat. And then finally, I'd just like to say thank you to our sponsor, presenters. Thank you to Charlie and thank you to Mike, and thank you for sharing your knowledge and your experience with mapping. And I feel like there's more to be said and done with this. I feel like we only just, touched this topic and touched the surface. So maybe there'll be some follow-up that we can do on this really, really cool subject, because I think that it is, so evident how you can bring maps to life, you can bring history to life, and you can get kids curious and engaged. So super webinar today, and thank you so much to both of you. I appreciate you being with us, and we hope that folks enjoyed it.
Thanks everybody for participating.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.